I'm Kyle Kamikawa with your hosts, Andrew Glauner.
And Chris Ramos.
Tonight, we review Darth Vader by Charles Soule Omnibus.
The Marvel Omni that collects all of the run from 2017,
2018. And so we're reviewing the collected edition, this whole run that he did. And just a fun fact, Charles Soule is actually one of the lead creators for Lucasfilm now and for Marvel Comics and the Star Wars department. So he is the leading charge for everything that's coming out in the comics for the next couple of years of how they're going to shape the narrative and what stories they want to tell.
He knows his Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, he's actually put out recently a Daredevil by Charles Soule that's coming out. He did a Swamp Thing run. He's very much not a newcomer to comics, but he's one of these great comic book writers you see coming up in the changing of the guard.
Like a comic book historian a little bit, because you really, really got to know these worlds. And Star Wars has always been overwhelming. I mean, there's so many little intricacies, ways that the technology has to be, ways that the characters have to kind of follow what they did in the movies. I mean, you can't just reinvent it.
Yeah.
Marvel's trying to kind of put their own touch on it a little bit.
Sure.
But they're not totally erasing the religion and the history of Star Wars.
No.
People know that.
It was just that Marvel came around, they got their license back from Dark Horse Comics in about 2015. And, you know, they built up a lot of expanding universe and worlds beyond and things like that, and just getting really over the top and kind of not so much convoluted, but it just took on a life of its own. And they said, not that we're going to ignore it, but we're going to say that's over there.
Yeah.
And we're going to just kind of clean slate and just kind of start fresh with the movie universe and kind of just build upon that.
It's just one of those franchises that are built to pretty much endlessly tell tales.
Sure.
So they have to say, all right, so some of these tales are exactly that. Some of them are legends. Some of them are canon. Some of them are movies. Some of them are like Marvel comics. And
yeah,
some of these are like behind the scenes stuff.
Sure. Know? But before we dig on the run, Ramos, I wanted to ask you, what's some of your favorite Star Wars moments or memories that you had growing up?
Well, I mean, Star Wars to me was such a big part of my like family. My uncle is a huge Star Wars fan. We kind of grew up just knowing about the movies. And
sure.
The difference when I was growing up to now is that there was sort of this dry period, if you will, where the Star Wars movies was the only thing like happening, right? So Marvel had like their comic book run, which kind of told some side stories.
Yeah, back in the late 70s, 80s.
Yeah. So like you could always look at that and be like, oh, that's cool. They're kind of building on the misadventures of the Millennium Falcon or something, you know?
Yeah.
But they never really took it super serious. And I think when the movies came out, the episodes 1, 2, and 3, you know, we pretty much skipped school to go see those movies.
I mean,
no joke. Yeah, it was like a protected day. And we saw them right away and we just devoured everything Star Wars. I read a large part of the books that were out.
Cool.
Heir to the Empire and by Timothy Zahn and things
like
that.
Yeah, that's
those
a really good
great.
One. Yeah.
Those were good. And then they just sort of, I don't know, they wanted to like grow up Star Wars. They wanted it to make it more serious.
Yeah.
And that's why when they came out with episodes 1, 2, and 3 and George Lucas wrote them, some of the super fans were like, we want them like grittier. We want more, you know, like the movies that were out at that time were like high action, high adventure, just, you know, really, they wanted to have that, like, you know, Darth Vader saying, I am your father moment. They wanted that like other shoe to drop, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think they ever got that. So
yeah, not so much. I can remember going to see episode 3 with my dad. That was one of our first Star Wars movies. When I looked it up, it came out in 2005. And I'm like, I remember seeing that. That was cool.
That's my vivid memory.
That was my vivid memory, but And then just recently in college, you know, when Force Awakens came back and just how huge that marketing was and yes. how it was like, oh my God, Star Wars is back.
I mean, it is a machine.
It is a machine, a marketing machine. And they're going to let you know about it. Why aren't you seeing this movie?
So that's why I think, you know, when they're doing the comic book runs, especially modern comic book runs, even within the last 5 years, they're taking it. And they're saying, we're going to, you know, honor the original Star Wars universe. We're not going to change too much, right?
Right.
And there are certain things they have to keep, just like Marvel has to keep, you know, Bruce Banner is Hulk and, you know.
Right.
And
you can't Steve fundamentally change something.
There's not too much. You can kind of tell side stories and backstories that might surprise the reader, but you can't just totally change what happened. And that's where this series, I think, runs that fine line where you're learning that Darth Vader as the main character, he has some faults and he has some moments of like doubt and he has some like memories of like, look what I've become. I'm a monster. And then at the same time, when you think of the movies, they never had that moment where Darth Vader was like, I'm a monster, you know.
No,
like
that never,
until the end.
Yeah,
right?
Like, maybe in episode six at the very end. At the very end.
But like, that's where I like appreciate episode 1, 2, and 3, where it shows that, you know, maybe not every choice was in his control.
Right. You know? Absolutely. There's a lot of things of his environment, his mentor, his every supporting cast along the way. But I guess so. The Charles Soule's run takes place right after episode 3, when he gets in his suit for the first time and how he's experiencing that and what emotions are going through his head. And just to see what happens. Because that's one of the questions that after watching episode 3 and, you know, being a young Star Wars fan, you're like, okay, what happens between 3 and 4? You know, what's going on? And that's the one, I guess, one of my favorite spots that I always wanted to find out more about is what happens between 3 and 4.
Yeah, because then you always heard like, well, Darth Vader then went out and he hunted down all the Jedi that were remaining.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I want to know those stories. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I want to see Darth Vader fight some Jedi.
Exactly. And
you get that. You get that in this.
Exactly. And then the Obi-Wan Kenobi series is finally coming out. That premieres on May 27th. So that's just in a couple weeks from when we're recording this. And we're super excited because some of the moments that are happening and here we might get to see on live action or some sort of version of it. So it introduces you to a couple characters we're seeing there. And that was so exciting to see. I was like, oh, that's the thing from the thing. And they're all starting to do a great job of interweaving all these characters now.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when you're making a universe like this, or, you know, George Lucas sure never knew when he was filming the first movie that any of his characters would be sought after, you know, 40 years later.
Take on a new life.
Yeah, and say, hey, that bounty hunter, yeah, we want to make a whole movie about that person. And it's like, oh, well, that was just sort of a side character. And that's just part of it. You just never know as a writer or an artist of just like what's going to take off.
Or that kind of brings a new like creative challenge.
Yeah. And you got to get the right writer, the right people in it.
Absolutely.
That's why I think this run is really cool because it does show right away that Darth Vader wakes up in this suit and he realizes that the Emperor sort of tricked him a little bit.
I guess,
you know. And then he's like, well, still what am I going to do about it?
Right? Yeah. He's still very upset about that. That never goes away.
Nope. And so he's like, well, this is who I am now, you know. And all of the Jedi are pretty much recognized as the wrongdoers in the universe. So at the beginning here, Darth Vader's first task is that he doesn't have his own lightsaber.
Yeah.
Doesn't have one.
I thought that was like wild. Yeah. I'm like, what? I guess he doesn't just get his own lightsaber.
No. So the Emperor's like,
and I think,
go get one.
Right. And I think Obi-Wan had his lightsaber and gave to Luke. Yeah. So it's like, okay, he doesn't formally have
one. Yeah. And so the Emperor is like, the only way a Sith can get his own lightsaber is if he takes it
from another Jedi. Dun, dun, dun.
Like, and what like pollutes the crystal in it or something. You know?
Yeah, with the dark side energy. Yep.
So Darth Vader starts figuring out like, well, there's got to be some Jedi out there and I'm going to go find one and and take it. So that it's
Darth Vader is not unfamiliar to hunting down Jedi. So he's okay. This is one of my pastimes.
He's like, all right, I'll go take it. You know, like, boom, story evolving. Exactly. Great.
And it kind of harkens back to some of the prequels and stuff where he, and, you know, just kind of coming out of episode 3 with his battle with Obi-Wan and, you know, the fall of the Order 66 and stuff, where he bears all this hate for the Jedi now
because
of everything they told them was a lie and how they didn't believe in him and so much. And even though he's supposed to be the chosen one and everything, and he just bears all that rage. I think he's like the epitome of rage and stuff like that. As far as
and he feels like he was held back, you know.
And
anyone who is ambitious, if someone's holding you back, you feel like there's blame to be placed, you know.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happens, is that Darth Vader is fueled by hate.
Yeah.
You know, he gets energy from rage.
Hate, a bit of guilt for not saving Padme or doing more, or betraying his master a bit. A lot of conflicted feelings that are going on through this run.
Well, and, you know, a lot of times the Sith and, you know, the dark side of the Force is promising a lot of stuff, but I never really see where they're using
the
anything
payoff
totally
really
different.
There.
Yeah, it's like
power.
I guess. I mean, you could just do huge, huge.
Impossible things, yeah.
Crashing, breaking, throwing people, lightning, stuff like that. Yeah, like you could choke people.
Yeah, how do you solve all your problems, Arthur? Oh, I just choke my.
Yeah. but the coolest thing I think in the whole series here is, not only do you get to see Darth Vader being like a total badass and just chopping down and fighting and finding ways to win. I mean, some people just break him down to like his robotic limbs, you know.
Yeah,
he has to like build himself back together with spaceship parts, you know.
Right, that was super cool to see.
So he is resourceful. He is just a fighter. I mean, there's no way you can stop him unless you're going the distance. You know, he even made a comment, I think, that Jedi always stop when their threat is gone, and he's like, "Well, my threat is never gone."
Yeah,
you know. I'm never, and
he's
so
always chasing something, I feel like. But it was, so just taking a step, just look at the character itself. Darth Vader seems like he's like a Superman kind of character where it's hard to figure out how to stop Vader, right? Or how to make him interesting, because he is all powerful. He's a force of nature. He is a Sith Lord. There's not much that can stop him. At least when you walk him through the movies and things like that, or how they're writing in the comics stuff. And so that's one of the many challenges. And it was really cool to see what Charles Dole did to like stop him and things like that.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it too is that Darth Vader has a mask. So when you look at a lot of
like
the
facial
people,
expression, there's no facial expression.
You just don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to just like cut you in half? Is he just going to lash out? Is he just going to, you know, think about betraying you some other day? But and that's, they do a good job of like what's happening in his head. Just because the Emperor is talking to him and saying, do this for me, you kind of get a little bit of an insight that Darth Vader's thinking, I don't always have to do this, you know. I don't,
right,
I'm not totally stuck here.
So he's very much getting tested without told he's getting tested, and then he'll go back to Emperor Palpatine and be like, What was this a test?
Yeah.
No, I would never test you. You are my humble apprentice.
Yeah.
Yes. And you will always be my humble apprentice. You are my favorite Sith.
And that's just how the Sith are set up. That, you know, they have the rule of two. And so it's like there's a Sith Lord and an apprentice. And someday the apprentice will kill the Sith Lord and become the Sith Lord.
But
so
there's always, I'm gonna make it hard living.
You always get the idea that he's set up. But there's a couple really, I don't want to say funny moments, but there's a couple moments where you get reminded that Darth Vader is who he is. There was one where there was an ex-librarian Jedi where he's hunting her down.
She was great. Featured in like episode two more and a little bit in three. She was, the older librarian lady. And just to see her, I really appreciate he brought like characters that you didn't see die on screen back in this comic.
Yeah, run, to say that they were hidden.
That's them. Ooh, we get to see more of their story. Oh, cool. And so she's actually very skilled, like Jedi Knight, Jedi Master. And so that was super cool. Fleshed out like more of her motivations and what she did after Order 66. And
the Emperor wanted her, gone. And they were like, why? She's not a very good... I think Darth Vader said that, she's not a very good...
kind of a nuisance.
Lightsaber. Yeah. She doesn't fight. She hardly ever battles. And he says, she's the librarian. She's information, That's the biggest threat right now is just the marketing almost, right?
Yeah.
Like the marketing campaign.
The Empire, he's trying to establish this new order after the Republic and working on almost phasing that out. And he's like, these last little threads of the Republic and the Jedi, we got to take that out.
And that little part where he brings the librarian onto a ship full of clone troopers who are loyal to Vader. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, this man is Anakin Skywalker. Don't you know that? He's a Jedi Knight.
Yep.
And so Darth Vader, the next scene, he just throws them all out the window. So it's like, and then he's like, that was your fault. And she goes, well... So it's funny that he is still hiding everything about his past. He doesn't want anyone to know who he was. Anakin is being totally erased. Yes. And anyone who finds out or mentions that he was Anakin Skywalker is just dead.
Yeah. And, people connected to the Order still know who he is because he was the chosen one. He was the very praised one. They were doing a lot to train him up. So just to see him ultimately betray all their values and everything. Oh, yeah, that's... we're going to bring that grudge up a bit.
He did eventually bring balance to the Force. That was his whole destiny.
A long time. A lot of dead.
Yeah. And the cool part, the librarian had a secret stash of information
at
her home. And her assistant, blew up this mountain to hide it, and then it sat empty. It shows cobwebs growing, and then all of a sudden Luke Skywalker walks in. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's full circle stuff, and that's really what Star Wars likes to do is this full circle stuff. All of this is laying the foundation for what's happening 20 years later.
Absolutely, and I guess we could talk about the Inquisitors now that they're introduced. So
they'll be on the show.
Yes.
Too.
So this will be not first time. So they introduced the Inquisitors in Star Wars Rebels as the hunting squad if Darth Vader is too busy or he's preoccupied, and they're not quite Sith. They're meaning to be dark Jedi a bit. They're just getting equipped with Sith weaponry and still Darth Vader influenced by the dark side and things like that.
Yeah, and at this point they probably would never be Sith.
It's very much a new program.
Yeah. They're just
still working out the kinks.
And Darth Vader has to bring them up to snuff.
Sure, but they're actually getting introduced for their first time in live action in the Obi-Wan series coming up. But Emperor Palpatine kind of doesn't really says, oh, hey, there's this new program. They just kind of run into each other and they're like, who are you? Who are you? Because he's like, you're not Jedi. Well, you're not Sith either. Palpatine's like, oh, I created this program. I'm going to have you train them. What? I'm not a Jedi Master. I don't do that kind of thing anymore. Well, you're going to have to.
Yeah. And the Emperor is constantly reminding Vader that there are enemies who would wish to see the Empire fall.
Yes.
So he's always saying, I will teach you, but first you have to get rid of my enemies, or I will show you the dark side, but first you have to go get rid of this last Jedi. And so he's constantly pushing off carrot.
Yeah,
promise,
the promise of power.
Yeah, I'll show you things, but you need to first do this for me. And so you just, that the Emperor obviously is 10 steps ahead, and that's how he's always been. And so he just wants to keep Vader on like a short leash a little bit and just say, you know, do these things for me, and then we'll talk about freeing you from your suffering or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So the Inquisitors was cool, like interesting to pair them up and kind of like be like Darth Vader's task force and things like that. But it just kind of brought a new flavor to the Empire and things like that. It's not all just stormtroopers and Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the Inquisitors, we'll have to see. They're in the new Obi-Wan series. I want to see exactly how strong they make them.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, are they going to be sort of in the series and then at the end be destroyed, or like they're going to carry on, or,
sure,
you know, how are they going to handle that? Because it's different than the comic book.
The
Great
Inquisitor that we see in the trailer, he's also in the comic, and he brings up his life as a Jedi and not being able to access the library, which tied in the storyline. And that was a great, like, kind of just a great conflict of like, I want to get in that library, so I want to kill that Jedi who didn't let me in there because I want to read everything because I never did before. And then once he does, he's like, oh, this is boring. Yeah. Still there to learn stuff, but he's like, ah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a cool plot point.
And there are, what, 5 or 6 of them brothers? Decide that, you know, whether these are sort of
sisters, yeah,
Darth Vader's, you know, little assassin group.
Yeah.
The Emperor says, train them right. I don't think Darth Vader wants anybody else around.
Nope.
Like, at all. So
yeah.
And it took him a while to, like, earn the trust of the Inquisitors, if you say it that way. They try to get him, like, killed a couple of times, right?
They all very much have their own personalities and their own agendas,
yeah,
too.
And then, like, even the Imperial officers, there's a scene where Darth Vader kind of, like, chooses 5 of them at random and just chokes them out.
Right.
And just says, listen, I will always survive. So,
yeah, because they try to kill him off in different ways and things like that to take him out of the seat of power. Because he's still very new. You know, he's still new to that role and things like that.
He says, every time, I will survive. And he's like, but 5 of you chosen at random will not. And he just chokes out 5 random people. So he at least shows that, you know, you always think, oh, well, it's Anakin and he's going to redeem himself. Not at this point.
Nope.
I mean, he's still very much a villain. And they do that
broody.
The right way.
Yeah. So talking about the art, and one of the unique things they showed in this was Darth Vader meditating. And he looks like without his armor on. And it's this like culmination of this like red squiggly lines. And it's like a very much like a force figure and like a force ghost almost. But it's like red and black and squiggly lines. And it kind of has this like symbolic thing of like getting burnt.
Yeah. Like he's almost, I want to say tattooed, but it's like. He has a texture to him.
Yeah, that you would never known about.
Spiritual world, yeah.
Like, the most you see of Darth Vader in the movies and stuff without his armor on is, like, at the end when he has to take his, Luke takes his, like, helmet off and he's all, like, gray and old.
Yeah, it's like something out of Stranger Things. It's really weird.
Right. So that was so cool because I've never seen anything like that. And so that was just a really cool, interesting portrayal of, like, Darth Vader's, like, meditation realm, I call it.
But, and he does quite a bit kind of reflect on himself a little bit.
Yeah.
Enough where you get the idea that he's leading 2 different lives a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another series. I don't, maybe it's in the next one after this, but you know, they've really, really built on him, because he just has endless side quests. That's really like, he's constantly, okay, I'm going to go fly out this way. And, you know, he didn't really do much as far as like running the Empire. You know, he is not like the politician
at all. He was trying to take
all
the problems or any rebellions or anything that would come to destroy the Empire or really dismantle something. He was like one of the number one guys on that.
It worked on the enforcement part.
Yes.
He was the hitman.
Yes.
I mean, that's easy to say, but you know, it's great that it's in the comic book form.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And another one of the great stories that came out of this was how Darth Vader built his castle, I guess, on Mustafar and came back to that. That was so cool because it was something, you know, you've seen. I think we've seen it in Rogue One. I believe they introduced it, like his fortress the first time.
When they flew out there and that one guy was like sort of begging him in the castle.
Yeah, and that was like, where did that come from? And I don't know, how do you build something on Mustafar?
Right, right.
It's a literal volcano planet. you bought that, you fought there, you kind of almost died there, you got burnt to a crisp. Wouldn't you not want to go back there? And for those reasons, he wants to go back and kind of conquer his fears and things like that and his hatred. And
like, where else would be a great place that no one would think he'd go to?
Right. And there's Mustafar. Just this cool, like, Darth side Sith story that comes out of it. And, like, there's this whole, like, natives that live there, and they're like a rebellion of their own coming and attacking them. Just a lot of culture building in that, too. Just the world of Star Wars. Just, it's always a new race of people and just different problems and different ways they handle it. So good.
Well, when it starts this series, like we had said, no one really understood what Darth Vader was. Like, they saw him, and then as soon as he lit up a lightsaber, they're like, Jedi. And then even the Empire would shoot at him.
Yeah.
So it took a while to, like, you know, really get through to everyone that he is the right hand of the Emperor. He's the right hand of the Empire.
So, exactly.
You know, don't shoot at him. He's not a Jedi.
Yeah.
And as the series goes on, they kind of start questioning him less and less and less and less.
No, because he's trying to assert authority.
Yeah.
And trying to
finally pick up on it.
Too. Yeah. And there's so much that they did to just throw the whole book at him.
Yeah.
And things like that. And how can we try to just break down this character, and how can we throw, like, make it challenging for him and things like that? And every component, whether through the Force, his armor, his credibility, literally burying him, however you try to do it, and he still comes back.
Yeah. So this series, you know, is, like we said, always look for like a collected edition, a collected series, because what it does is not only pull together a good reading format, you know, where you're kind of flipping through an actual hardcover
that's
oversized.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't really all that too much oversized, a little bit, but it just puts together the story in just one cohesive run. And that's the point of it. So whenever we tell you guys, go get a collected hardcover edition, that's because there's nothing like sitting down and just reading through all of this, because it connects the end to
absolutely.
The
pacing was very good. It's really easy to get into. All you really have to know is just Darth Vader was a character, and he's big, like, evil doer in Star Wars.
Yeah. And
you kind of pick it up and just say, okay, here it is.
He's not what you thought, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And he always talks a lot about his destiny and things.
Yeah,
and
destiny.
They go back to him as
a kid.
I hate
my destiny.
Yeah. There's really just so many cool little pieces. He even has, like, Ahsoka at the end here a little bit.
Oh, yeah. They kind of flash back to that, which is cool. Yeah. Because they kind of start, like, all points in his life and, you know, bring in, like, Star Wars Rebels and things like that, and kind of also, like, overlapping those.
And he keeps saying, I am no Jedi. And that's just the biggest thing for him, is that, don't call me a Jedi. I never was part of that order.
Right.
I was trained a little bit, but I'm no Jedi.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants everyone to remember.
Cool. And, you know, it kind of proves, like, that's why he's one of, like, the all-time villains in, like, at least pop culture history. I would say.
Yeah. Well, he
kind of ranks up there.
Most recognizable for sure.
Yeah. So if you like this run, it's only like a 25 issue run too. Super easy to get through and enjoy. Lot to take in, but it's not too overwhelming or super long. So definitely recommend it. If you like this run, go read Kieran Gillen's run. He was the same guy who we just reviewed Once in Future.
Mm-hmm.
Very good writer. He teamed up with Jason Aaron on this run of Darth Vader and Star Wars. And that is a different point, because it takes place more like Episode 4 and 5, where the Death Star is just being built. And so there's new challenges and things like that.
So the Empire is getting more at their height of their power.
Height of their power and things like that.
Not really like the beginning.
Like, Tarkin's a huge character in that one, where he's checking Vader and his power and things like that, and trying to throw the book at him. And a lot of Karen Gillan also like fleshes out like new supporting cast of like Dr. Aphra. You might hear her name. This is where that starts. There's like the Wookiee that appears in Boba Fett. He shows up. That's where his first appearance was. And there's like this killer version of like R2-D2 and CP3O. That's so funny. Heck, I hope we get to see them live action and that whole supporting cast super soon. I don't know why they wouldn't. It's such a interesting and funny way to do it.
So if you are a Star Wars fan, jump into the comics. That's the biggest deal.
Lots out there now these days.
Tons Omnibus of novels, is getting reprinted. Ton of comics.
Yeah, and it just keeps going.
And so. Disney Plus. I mean, it's just a great time still to be a Star Wars fan. We've been saying that for 20 years, but still, it's a good time to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. So thanks for coming to hang out with us and review Darth Vader by Charles Soule. This has been another episode of Vampile Comic Hour. And this is Andrew Glauner
and Chris Ramos
signing off.